It's the best I can do. This one too? Okay. You know, I did ask earlier, and they said, no, it's not glaring, you know? Okay. We are entering in, and we're, you know, we're taking our time because, in all honesty, I got thrilled with what I was studying. And I want to share it with you as well. Also, I wanted to hopefully help you in this area of free will and election, calling, and all of those words. Now, predestination shouldn't be in that last part there, because the Bible is talking to Christians concerning predestination. After you've already been saved, he talks about predestination. And a lot of churches avoid passages because they don't go along with what they believe. I had a young fellow that came to our church years ago, and he was from a strong Mennonite family. And he came to me after several weeks of worshiping with us. And he said, Pastor, you haven't convinced me yet about eternal security. And you haven't convinced me about predestination. That's the word that he wanted to use. He said, but I will say this to you. You are taking me to passages of the Bible that I've never been to. So I said, well, the only thing I can say to you is stay with us and keep studying. And that's what I say to people that come in and say, you know, I am a Pentecostal. Well, stay and keep studying. Because frankly, I believe you'll study your way out of it, you know, as we open up the Word of God. In the same way with this matter, I don't pretend to know how it all works, this heavenly calling and referring to us as the called, the called, the called, and the word election and what it means. Well, some say it means this, that God decided, elected a church to have a church, the body of Christ. But that won't work in Romans chapter 8. Who shall lay a charge to God's elect? Well, isn't that talking about the individual there? Beloved, don't let it get you down. And it's nothing to fight over. Whether we come with our free will, or whether he worked and called us. And we responded to that call. Thank God. And that's why I titled, you know, when I was just so thrilled with what I was studying, and when Becky called and wanted the title, I was just in the atmosphere of gratitude. I was so thankful. That no matter how he, you know, he's up here with this wisdom and power and all that, you know, you and I are never going to fathom. As one theologian said, we'll spend all eternity learning God. He may be right, because he's so vast and so wondrous. And I'm down here with my little 2x4 brain, and I'm going to comprehend all these wonders that, frankly, I don't know how to put together. And I admit it. And so what I've come to, and I said it before, and I maybe even said it last week, I let God do his work up there, whatever he's doing. And I'll do what he tells me to do down here. Hopefully, when I see it in the Word, oh, okay, God, you know, I'll pray without ceasing. You know, I'll witness for Jesus Christ. You know, the things that He tells me to do. And He's going to tell you to do some things this morning. Understand that. They're not suggestions. They're commands. And we think that, well, because we're in the age of grace, and it's proper to call it the age of grace, or call it the church age, or whatever. But frankly, there's more commands in the New Testament than there is in the Old Testament. You realize that? See, we don't see it in the English. But you do if you know the verbs in the Greek New Testament. And frankly, it kind of surprises you. Wow. I didn't realize that was a command. And probably there's a lot that you don't realize and don't know, even know yet. And I think that's the job of the pastor teacher, to help you to understand that, wait a minute, He's not merely just suggesting something, but He's commanding. And He's telling you, you are to do this. We're going to see that this morning. Now, we have looked at this heavenly calling. Look at verse 1 with me again. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now, we looked at that calling in a couple other places last week. And in the Word of God, it's always on the other side of salvation. In other words, salvation has already come to my life. And God calls me His called. And He says, you are partakers of this heavenly calling. There's no such thing. Get this, please. There is no such thing as a partial Christian. Some may be close to coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. They may be starting to listen, and the Word's starting to get to their heart. But until they put their faith in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, and the fact that He rose again the third day, and this is what I believe with all my heart, for forgiveness of sin and a home in heaven. Then, if you believe that, now you're a Christian. You're a holy brethren. You're part of the family. All of those wonderful things that God says about believers in the New Testament. But until you come to that, you may be sitting there convicted for years. But that's why you come now. And that's why the Word of God says, now is the day of salvation. Why? Because, again, I don't know how to work it out with what's going on up there and what down here. But what if while you're under conviction, the rapture occurs? Where are you going to be? Are you going to be up in the clouds, or are you going to be still sitting down here? You'll be sitting down here, because you haven't responded yet to that conviction. Now, that's the way God worked in my life. Gradually, He put His big feet on my little feet and held me down. And eventually, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I trusted Christ as my Savior. But it was a process. Like I told you last week. Now, so God calls, and the called are those who respond in saving faith. You did use your will and trust Christ as your Savior. So you can call me a Calminian or whatever you want to call us kind of guys. But I do believe that each one of you that here are saved here, and I've gotten to know you all pretty good, and I believe that every one of you are saved. I believe that. And I believe that you exercise your will to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But I also believe that you were called from heaven. It's a heavenly calling. And this calling here is the calling that you responded to by coming into saving faith. So on top of that, the calling becomes a standard by which believers should govern their conduct. Now, what am I saying? I'm not to live like the world. I'm to live like one of God's kids. And God tells me in His Word how I'm supposed to live. I don't have to sit here and say, "Ah, I found the secret of the Christian life." That's ridiculous. It's laid out right before us. And so what God says, that's what we're to do. And we're to live and act like those that had a heavenly calling. Now, what would that heavenly calling involve? Righteousness, right? Godliness, right? Walking the walk that He wants us to walk, conducting our lives the way He would want us to conduct our lives. That's Ephesians 4 and 5 that I'm referring to now in the area of conduct. So it becomes a standard. And the challenge for you this morning, as we start, not stop, is your calling. And are you balancing your call? Now, what do I mean by that? Ephesians 4:1 says this, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord." Now, listen, when he said prisoner of the Lord, he's in a Roman prison, and he said, "But they are not the ones that are holding me. God put me here for a reason." And thank God that He did. Because we got the prison epistles. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Timothy's, that both of those, and Titus. Aren't you glad that we have them in the Bible? But He wrote them as in chains. That's where they come from. Okay. "As a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I beg you, that ye walk worthy of the vocation to which you are called." Now let me again say something about the text. The word vocation and the word called are the exact same Greek word. So he says this, balance your life. Walk worthy the scales. Here's your calling from heaven. Here is your life. Should it be like this? Or should it be like this? That's what he's saying. Should be like this. Your lifestyle, your conduct should be what your calling is. Where were we called from? What's it like up there? And He can bring that life down to us now. "I come that you might have life, and you might have it overflowing abundantly." But it literally means to overflow. I can have life that's overflowing. The only thing that can stop that is an eclipse. We've got the sun. We've got us. But if the world comes in between, we're not going to walk like people with a heavenly calling. We're going to walk like the world walks, like we walked before God saved our soul. That should not be. There should definitely be a difference in our lives now that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. So walk worthy. Walk, balance the scales of the calling with which you're called. Now the reason the King James says vocation is because back in the 1600s, whatever job you did, that was considered your calling. Understand that. And so that's why they would use the word vocation. But notice it's a heavenly calling in both origin and in destination. He called me into his family. If he wouldn't have called me into his family, I would have never come. Same with you. You can't avoid those verses. Just like you can't avoid those verses. And when we were in this in Bible college, Don Urey would say when this, you know, we'd have this side against this side. Now, we weren't sitting that way, but, you know, some were all Arminian. I can't think of her first name now. Her last name was Graybill. And she became really a wonderful student. But she was a Mennonite when her dad dropped her off for the first day at the Bible college. And the last thing he said before she got out of the car, don't you dare let them convince you of eternal security. So needless to say, she went in with what she was brought up with. And there were several other guys. And then there was a guy like me. I don't know. I just know I believed on Jesus Christ and he changed my life. And I believe I'm sitting here in Bible college because he called me to it. But I don't know all this other stuff. I'm a little bit more now like J. Vernon McGee. He was in a section, you know, on his Bible bus, on his radio program. Did you ever listen to his Bible bus? And he was in the section on predestination and election and all that. And he said, you know, I thought I had it all figured out. And he said, the more I've studied and the older I've gotten, the less I know. He said, I don't have it figured out. And I'm sitting here saying, and I'm confessing the same thing, I don't have it figured out. But I do know the direction of my call came from heaven. And I do know, as I read Romans chapter 3, there's none that seeketh after me. No, not one. Is that telling the truth? Well, then how do we get in? We are in, aren't we? Are you convinced of that? I know I'm convinced of it. And I'm not worried about a thing about tomorrow. No, I got my, you know, wait a minute. If it rains, I can't do this. If this happens, I can't do that. But I'm not talking about spiritual matters. Spiritual matters, that's all settled. And when I told you about my operation and I said, I want you to know that here's where I'm at. It don't always work the way that the doctors plan. There was a bright young football player that had all you would imagine in front of him. He was 24 years old. Played for the Kansas City Chiefs, and I can't come up with his name right now. But he had to have a knee operation. Typical little knee operation. 20-some minutes, and something went wrong under anesthesia, and he never, ever got up off that table. See, we don't know. We don't know as far as that part is concerned. We don't know when. We know it's only two ways to get there. Now, I'm talking to saved people. We can get there by the rapture, or we can get there by death. Either one, we're going to get there. Hallelujah for those precious promises of the Word of God. Make them real to your life if you haven't yet. So the origin was there, and the direction was from heaven to our lives. So the heavenly God calls earthly men to a heavenly eternity and presently bestows a multitude of heavenly blessings on us now. When people would say to Pete Hook, God bless you, his answer was, he already has. But there is another thing to that. Yes, he has blessed us, and we're going to, Ephesians 1:3, and is it up there behind me? Okay, we'll wait for it. Can we? Okay. Look at this. Blessed, is it there? I don't want to be trying to turn around, because I'm not the twist. I'm not supposed to twist. So I can't dance the twist anymore for a while. Okay? We are there? Okay, brother. Thank you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It says in your Bible, but from the Greek, it's in the heavenlies. The blessings come down from the heavenlies. Do you think that God is finished blessing you? I think he pours out blessings upon us day by day by day by day. And one of the happiest times of the week for me is when we stop, and Tony started this, and I give him the credit. When we stop and praise God. See, what we're doing is causing people to think what God has done for me this week. And that's why the song, Count Your Blessings. Because there is so many there that we haven't even realized that they're there. He's pouring out blessings day by day, by moment, on our lives. And that's why I titled Gratitude. The heavenly calling led to all these blessings. And I think one of the greatest for me is the assurance of salvation. What a blessing for God's Spirit talking to my spirit and telling me I'm one of His. And nobody can take me away, including me. But I never would want to. Because I want to say this to you, and I mean this. I have been far happier as a Christian than I was as an unsaved person. The unsaved people say they have all the fun. No, I started having fun when I became a Christian, when I trusted Christ as my Savior. See, what I called fun back there, in all honesty, really wasn't fun. It led to just more loneliness and more troubles and one mess after another mess. It was making a mess of my life. But Christ arranged things and started me on the way to happiness. And if you're not there yet, you better start praying about that. God, I want the assurance of salvation. I know I trusted Christ, but I want the assurance of salvation. And I want to know this life that Christ brought to me abundantly. John 10:10, right? So on top of this, we're still adding this. On top of this, the promises of God includes for the reader of this letter. Notice, turn to 11, chapter 11. Now, I didn't put it, same book. 11:16. I wasn't going to bother because it's right in the Hebrews. Yes. But I want you to see Hebrews 11:16. Are you going to put it up? I wasn't going to bother because it's right in Hebrews. So I thought, you know, I'm not making people turn. But I do have a bunch more for you before this is all over. But now, look at this. But now they desire a better country. That is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. You see that? Did he? Are we in on that too? Yeah. What city was Abraham looking for? He was looking for a heavenly city. And that's what he's talking about here. So there's a city involved in the blessing. Now look at chapter 12, 22. And Tony, don't bother because, you know, they only have to turn the page one page. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. See what you're in on? You see what you got coming? You want to jump up like a Pentecostal and shout hallelujah? Go ahead. Because we got a country and we got a city prepared for us. And that's where we're going. To this heavenly Zion. And by the way, that heavenly Zion comes back to the earth during the millennium. It's going to be part of the earth during that time. I'm not going to take the time to try to argue that for you. Now notice, going back to Hebrews chapter 3. He is at this time, remember in chapter 2, he was warning those that were in the process of sailing on by the harbor of salvation. And he asked this question, how can we escape if we neglect, that means to sail on by, so great salvation? So he's talking to a group of people that have not put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are close, but they're going to sail by if they don't settle the matter. Same with you. You maybe have sit here in this church for how many years and never put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe you just misunderstand. Or maybe you don't want to give up what you're hanging on to. Maybe you're like that monkey that got his hand finally inside the coconut. But to get the coconut meat out, he'd have to release his hand to get it back out. But he wanted that coconut. And there's a lion roaring down the road. But he wanted that coconut. And I don't have, and so he was, would release his hand, put it back in, work to try to get that coconut meat out. And he couldn't, and guess what happened? The lion got him. Because he wanted that coconut meat. I'm not going to let go. And there's an awful lot of people sitting in churches that are preaching the gospel like we're doing here, that are hanging on to coconut meat but can't get their hand out of the coconut. And they're going to miss so great salvation. But here I'm convinced that he is talking to real Christians. Now look again at verse 1 with me. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our... Now look at that word, profession. Now if you're carrying a study Bible, they will take you to a margin and say, confession. Here is what the Greek word is. Homo logias. Logos is word. Homo, the same. When we talk about homosexuality, what are we saying? That person is attracted to the same sex. We are, hopefully, heterosexual. And what does that mean? I'm attracted to Linda. I'm attracted to the opposite sex. Now, that's God's plan. It's literally same word. In other words, we are confessing, saying the same thing as what Jesus said about himself. We are saying the same thing in our hearts as what the apostles explained and taught us about the gospel. And don't forget, that's the purpose of the epistles, to explain the gospel. We're saying what Paul said about our Savior, salvation, and all that. We're saying that. And hopefully, what's being said here, because I believe that we're teaching you the truth. I believe that Tony taught you the truth while I was away, and I believe I'm teaching you the truth this morning. And you're saying, we don't do it here. Amen! Why? Because I'm confessing the same thing that you're talking. And that's what it means here. It's not profession. That's a person who professed Christ, and we look and say, I wonder about that. Not sitting as judge. But boy, there's not a whole lot of evidence of the Holy Spirit in that professor of Christianity. But the one who is in confession, you'll know he's saved because he's saying the exact same thing as what the Bible says about salvation and how to get there. And that's what he's saying. You confessed that Jesus is the apostle and high priest. You've confessed of a heavenly calling. You've confessed that you're part of a heavenly brethren, holy brethren. And you're a real dude. You're a real guy. I don't know whether I have the right to say that word dude or not. But it just came. You're the real thing, in other words. So it means to say the same thing as someone else. And the New Testament always uses it of believers. Now, example, do I have Romans 9 on there, Romans 10 on there, brother? Romans 10, 9 through 9 and 10. The people that are going to listen to this on the podcast are saying, what in the world is he talking, or who is he talking to? Okay, Romans 10, 9 and 10. I forgot to put it on the list that I gave him. Now look carefully. That if thou shalt confess, homologio, say the same thing, that Jesus is Lord. Now, it says in our Bible, confess with our mouth that the Lord Jesus. But it really is, confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, you might be sitting here saying, I look at that verse, I keep looking at that verse, and I go to this verse. And you, by the way, you should have this, these two verses memorized, because when you get an opportunity, when the door opens up to share Jesus Christ with somebody, at say at Walmart or at one of the other places, your place of work, a conversation starts on the street, you got to have the Bible here, because you can't always get it here. And that's why you memorize some wonderful verses that would lead somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. You could lead them verbally sharing God's word. So he says, "I believe that God raised him from the dead." Wait a minute. Why didn't he say something about the cross there? If you accept the resurrection, that means you've accepted all the other stuff. The accomplishment of what Jesus Christ did for you on Calvary's cross. You can't avoid the resurrection. Because if you say, I believe that Jesus died for my sins, but I don't believe in resurrection, your chances, I think, of going to heaven are somewhere between slim and none, and slim has left town. You got to believe in a resurrected Jesus Christ. Now, listen. This isn't my theology. It's the theology, and I'm saying the same thing as the Apostle Paul out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You got to believe in the resurrection. Now look carefully. Verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. In other words, when I have put my faith and believe, remember, believe, trust, and faith come from the same Greek word. Same word. So when I put my faith or when I believe, I put my being over into his hands. I don't control it anymore. I'm his. So if I believe where? With the heart. I believe in my inner man. I don't merely say, I acknowledge that Jesus was a historical character, and I even believe that he died and rose again from the dead. But if it's not from here, then I believe he did it for me. I'm believing with my inner man. The word cardia, where we get the word cardiac from, and cardia. When I believe with my inner man, I'm declared righteous. As righteous as Jesus is. And with the mouth, confession, same word now, back in Hebrews, is made unto salvation. So I have come to the same conclusion in my heart of what the Bible says about the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You in there? Is that where you're at? I have believed with all my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and God raised him from the dead because he died on a cruel cross. And you go with the rest of the book, and what was the cruel cross all about? My sins. My sins. Your sins. Understand that. And understand what confession means. I agree with what the Bible says. I didn't hear it verbally from Jesus, but I believe what he said about himself. And it's become real as if he was standing here saying this to me. Same way with the apostles. I read what they say. Well, we're reading it right now out of Romans. And I agree wholeheartedly with those verses. Do you? You see, that's confession. And that's what he's talking to, who he's talking to in the book of Hebrews. In chapter 2, profession and confession. Now, some of you, I'm worried about, he says. You're sailing on by. You've only professed Christ. You hung around with Christians. And now you're ready to walk away because somebody is getting nasty with you. Because now you're acting with and like brethren. See, do you honestly expect the world to say, whoopee, you became Christian, and now you walk a different walk? You don't walk like you used to with me. You don't use the language you used to with me. You don't chase certain individuals like you used to with me. You see what I'm saying? Now they're going to say, I'm thrilled that you're saved. No, they're not going to love you for that. They wanted you the other way. So don't expect that world to be wide open with open arms saying, oh, come. Yeah, they're saying, oh, come. And they do have open arms, but it's not for the righteous person. It's for the person that neglects their faith and walks like they walk again. Do you know of anybody like that? That have professed Jesus Christ and are walking exactly like the world walked? Exactly like they used to walk before they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I've known too many of them. And I am not mad at them. And I am not judging them. I'm just concerned about them. Because I honestly can say to everyone, including those that were very, very nasty to me, I want you in heaven with me. I mean that. Do you mean it? If you mean that, you know what you're going to be doing? Looking for opportunities like crazy to witness to people for Jesus Christ. You are. You're going to be quoting these verses. And some are going to get gloriously saved, and some are going to get very angry with you. Some might even just say, well, it's good for you, but it won't work for me. Have you truly confessed Jesus Christ, that he is Lord, and that he died and rose from the dead, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord? I love the song. He is Lord, he is Lord, he is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Father in heaven, help us. Help us to radiate the heavenly calling. Help us not to fret over trying to figure it out, but just accept it that it happened. And now I'm part of the Holy Brethren. And I'm also connected to a living Savior who's real to me. And I love you for doing it. And I love you for all of what this means to me now with the blessings that you're pouring out upon my life and the blessings that's still yet to come. Oh, Father, may we live a life of gratitude to be in God's family and to be saved from our sins and have a heavenly country and a heavenly city that we're going to enter into someday. Some sooner than others, but we're all going to get there because we believed on Jesus as our Savior. Now, while your heads are bowed, is Jesus Christ